right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look. You've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
Oh, fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet.
Hello, sir.
What's up?
How's it going?
Not bad and stuff.
A little quiet in here again.
It is a little quiet.
A little less. A little subdued.
A little relaxed.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say anything, but you know, you're going to get thrown under the bus next week. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's fair. I don't really think that's a peek behind the curtain anyone needs to see.
No.
You know what I mean? And
But you know it's coming.
Yeah, but it's not really, you know, maybe the whole thing is a secret plan.
That's right.
From Hydra.
That's right.
To get rid of Big Kev.
That's what I think.
That's
it
the
is.
Idea.
That's a Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
So that's what
did
I think.
Did you see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I did. No, I have woefully not watched any television at all this past week. So I haven't watched the rape Game of Thrones.
Wow.
I have.
Spoiler, just immediately everyone listening.
You don't know who raped who?
Oh, man.
Maybe the Hound raped Arya, and that's it's a terrible pedo episode.
What the fuck?
See? You don't know.
We got off course real quick.
I did not watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I did not watch Orphan Black, which is the most disappointing to me is Orphan Black.
I'll get this over with early. You know what you should have watched also?
What?
Hannibal.
Hannibal, yes, right. I'm sure. I saw your tweet view.
Goddamn, it's a good show.
Good on you for that.
It's a good show.
No, you know what happened was I started to watch Orphan Black. I actually was in this room. I had my laptop going. I was getting ready to watch it.
Yep, yep.
But I was working on that Muppets display behind you.
It's pretty awesome.
And
I like it a lot.
It took a lot of focus and attention.
If you could see this, right. There's some good.
So
it's a good display.
I will post some photos in the episode gallery and whatnot. But it took a lot of my attention away from being able to actually watch.
Yeah.
Orphan Black, so I didn't want to do that. And my wife was pressuring me to get this room together.
Fair enough.
Which means it's, that it's, had to get done.
And Orphan Black's not a show where you can kind of, you know, there are certain shows where I can kind of do two things at once.
Yeah. I could do Game of Thrones and that at once. Maybe that's what I should have done. Well, you don't like it.
You're not a big Game of Thrones
fan. No, I like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I like Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones, I feel like, with a few exceptions, I don't have to be like on top of it quite as much as I do with Orphan Black. Orphan Black, I feel like I really need to give it my 100%.
I think they have more fast-paced storytelling in every other show in Orphan Black.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to be like, oh, wait, what just happened kind of thing. And I guess Game of Thrones have those moments.
Right.
But there's a lot of, you know, world, but it all matters. I'm not saying anything negative to Game of Thrones, but I know what you mean. You can split your attention a little bit.
Yeah. So I will watch. I will catch up by next week's episode.
Yep.
Assuming all three of us are here and we have an episode. Yeah. I will hopefully have watched both episodes of Orphan Black, both episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., both episodes of Game of Thrones. That's my goal, to catch up.
Good. Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of good.
I hear it was pretty good. Blackout made an appearance on the on the episode, which I don't think is a spoiler. I think that's been pretty well known now for quite some time.
Next week is the Robin Scherbatsky episode.
Right, which means the week after should be the Nick Fury episode, because I think that's end of the season.
Oh, that's cool. Listen, it's... I want to see another season now. They got to a point where I'm like, okay, you got me. I want to see another season. So that's exciting.
Which
is surprising because of how it started, and you've heard us talk about the show as it's been airing, and we are not fans. And it's intriguing enough now with where they went in the Marvel Cinematic Universe to begin with.
Right.
Where this is a pretty cool expansion and I want to see more.
And I could be mistaken. And then after I say this, it's going to bring me to another correction. I could be mistaken, but I don't think it's officially been renewed yet.
I don't know.
I think everybody is kind of holding off for that May, that
May week, sweeps.
That May. Well, yeah, like most of the networks have to make their announcements. Well, they don't have to, but they make their announcements by like the first or second week in May, I guess, to get the orders in.
No, they literally do have.
Oh, they
to
do. They do
have to announce by May 9th. Or okay, one of those weeks, I think.
So I suspect that they're waiting for that. Although I don't. I never thought it was gonna not get renewed, even if season one was a stinker. I was pretty confident that ABC was gonna let it ride for at least the second season. It just seemed like a logical thing to me.
Interesting. I don't know.
But a correction from last week. So apparently I saw somewhere online, maybe it was on Twitter, maybe it wasn't, that Community had been renewed.
Yep.
But in fact, it has not yet been renewed. It hasn't been canceled, but it hasn't been renewed.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, they haven't really announced any renewals yet, I don't think.
No, there's
some surefire, like Law & Order got renewed. Surprise. No,
yeah, a couple things have gotten official, like Arrow got an official renewal order.
Yes, yeah, wow, Arrow.
So I'm pretty excited for tonight's
episode. Are you behind
on Arrow? Huh?
That you saw.
Well, I wasn't behind on Arrow.
You saw last week's Arrow.
Oh, I did see last week's episode of Arrow.
Gotcha.
So, do you want to talk? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
So, Ravager is what everybody thinks we're getting. Of course, Ravager, we think Isabel Rochev is going to become Ravager.
Oh, that makes sense.
Who's the sort of daughter, but not really, of Deathstroke. Because now she has the Mirakuru.
That is kind of that character.
And, right. Although, it's very odd for me, because Isabel Rochev, who, by the way, I absolutely hate in the comic books. Almost as much as Amanda Waller. Like, it's that level. That's not... The two characters are very different characters. And with the show, they've kind of... It looks like they're kind of mushing them together to give us one character. And I think it's because the Isabel Rochev character really is kind of eh. And the Ravager character is kind of cool. And maybe they just needed a way to meld the two.
I'm okay
I don't
with
know.
Them doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
There's certain things
it's
where...
It's a little creative freedom. It's okay.
I get the purest approach of like, how could they do it? But, you know, if it makes a more interesting TV show, that's why it's called an adaptation.
Look, as long as it works within the confines of the show, then it works for me.
I agree.
I've gotten set it up past this whole... Yeah, I've gotten past that whole, oh my God, it's not 100% true. I had to give up on that a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Because nothing is 100% true at this point. I mean, there are things that are really close, right? Or that are true, sort of. But nothing's 100% true. So I've given up on all that. As long as it makes sense within the context of the show and it's presented well, then I don't care. I'm okay with it.
Yep.
I've given them those liberties.
And that's what Arrow is. And one of the things I really like about Arrow is they do the thing that in other shows they always avoid. What does that mean? That was not clear at all.
Yeah, not at all.
For example, you know when they're about to, like even in the first season, when they're about to blow up the city, every other show They got it at the last minute. This show, right. No, fucking city exploded.
Oh, yeah, no, they blew up the
city.
That's
fucking awesome. This thing, oh, they're going to save the lab from explode. Nope, it's actually going to blow the fuck up. Oh, you're gonna get them before everyone gets injected with... Nope, too bad, they're all fucking superpowered now. Like, the fact that the show does that, like, obviously, they're going to save right. the day a certain way, or whatever, but they, like, oh, no, are they going to shoot them? Nope, yeah, they actually just shot them. Like, they go to the thing, you know,
I think
that you what, always assume, oh, that'll never happen. Arrow kind
of
does it.
I think what makes there. The show so good, and one of the reasons it's been so successful is because they're actually treating it like a comic book, right? And yeah. so you have to have those big... impactful events to keep it interesting and to keep it moving forward. Everybody has to be motivated by something. Yep. So if the city doesn't blow up, then Roy doesn't become Roy.
Yeah.
Roy is just some thug that Thea's dating, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're promising and all these things, and they're continually delivering, and good for them.
Yeah, and like the whole thing with spoiler.
Yeah.
Laurel actually like knows.
Yeah.
And they actually she's not just somehow retarded and completely doesn't believe. She's like, no, I know. Like, now I know the truth and knows about her sister. That's really cool to me that they figured that out. And they actually will go through with it. Because other shows, it would be like, oh, she found out. And then he comes up with a clever cover and she doesn't figure out for another season. The show's like, no, they're dealing with that. Like, she knows now and that's going to be.
And it looks like she's going to be okay with it. It looks like her dad might have talked her into it a little
bit. Yeah, you're getting the she's going to. Yeah, that kind of thing. I don't know. You still think she turns into Black Canary?
I still think they kill off Sarah Lance.
Yeah,
I don't want them to. I actually like her. I she grew on me because didn't really like her.
She got
at
better.
First.
She got better.
I like her, but I think that I think you're gonna need another big motivation once Deathstroke is out of the picture, and I don't mean killed. He's not gonna get killed.
No, he's a pretty big villain. Yeah.
Right? He's going to be in the background forever, is my thought. Or at least for a while.
But that's the thing, right? That's what they would do in any other show. Does this show have the balls to kill? The problem is, who's the next villain? Like, what's
no,
the
but
next?
But the show...
He shouldn't die.
With the exception of Shrapnel and Count Vertigo.
Yeah.
They haven't killed off any villains. And much like in a comic book...
That's true.
You don't kill the villains off. You just move past their arc.
Right, because even Malcolm Merlyn is still around.
What I think is going to happen is, I think Deathstroke, my opinion, is going to do what he finally thinks is the only thing he can do to really hurt Ollie. And that's going to be to kill Sarah. And when that's done, he's done with Ollie. He's done. That's it. He doesn't want to kill him. He really just wants to make him fucking miserable. And he said it over. He's not looking to kill him. He's looking to take away everything that he loves.
Yep.
And he's slowly doing all of that. And I think the last piece is going to be Sarah.
And that's how they end the season.
That's how they end the season.
Interesting. They could also bring the League of Assassins back after that.
Absolutely. But I think what it does is it allows Deathstroke to go into the background for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the background for a little bit. But still be there if they want to bring him back. And clearly they'll have to bring him back. Who I think they'll kill off, villain-wise, I think Summer Glau, I think Isabel Rochev, Ravager, I think she bites it.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's going to die. I think her arc is coming to a close. But again,
but they did just they if she is Ravager, they just created her. You think she's gonna die before the end of it? There are like six more episodes though to the end of the season.
There are four
is
now.
Is it four?
Because it was
because this felt very season finale ish. And yes. I was looking it up and I'm like, there are four there fucking are, more episodes.
Yep, in a row, no more breaks too.
Ah, finally.
I do think they're gonna kill off Ravager. I don't think that she's gonna be big enough.
Yeah.
I do potentially see the return of the League of Assassins, but I also see the potential for Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, we're all thinking.
Right? I mean, he's still there, and there's still a lot of potential with that character. I'm also not completely discounting Amazo
coming
in at some point. No, the actual character, Amazo, not just the doctor.
They
like,
would need
somehow,
a serious budget for Amazo, though.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm tossing things out there.
You know, what's really interesting is have they had a real superpowered person on the show yet, though?
The closest thing to a real superpower is Deathstroke.
Yeah, so
when you think about it, the Flash.
But if they bring,
kinda.
Right? But that's what I mean. Like right. Once Flash starts, they can have superheroes.
Right.
But like, put Solomon Grundy is a stretch in a way, isn't it? Because you're talking about an undead.
It is a stretch, but I think that they're going to I think they're going to have to make the leap at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just can't. Like, his mind doesn't heal all the way, but his body does because of the event. Right. Like, I guess I could believe a believable Solomon Grundy.
They have to figure out a way to. They're gonna have to make that leap at some point. Because quite honestly, if you don't make that leap at some point, you're gonna run out of characters. I mean, it's just the nature of comic books. Unfortunately, comic books have characters that have powers.
Yeah.
Like,
not unfortunately. But, it's just hard, but sometimes hard to.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, there's only so many like reality-based people you could adjust to work within the confines of the show. And I think at some point they're gonna have to make the leap. And I think they've already prepped the audience for the leap with the Flash.
The Flash too.
With the Flash.
Yeah, the Flash was believable. I don't know why, but I was okay with it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like,
I think the Flash has the ability to bring superpowered people into Arrow also.
Of course.
Like, I think you bring them all. And there was something about those two characters are actually... Yep.
Killer Frost and Vibe.
Yep, I was going to say.
So, and they're going to be series regulars on the Flash. Yeah. So I suspect at some point those characters will morph into...
There you go.
Those versions of themselves.
Yep. So.
All right, I think that's enough Arrow chatter.
I don't even think we told people which episode this was.
No, based on that conversation, we should have called it Ollie and Gang. But,
Ollie and the Gang, like Ollie Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. But we're going to call it Clone Club in honor of Orphan Black coming back.
Yeah, awesome show. Please watch it. I was in the city yesterday, and her face, Tatiana Maslany, who is absolutely amazing, I don't understand how she's that good at playing different people, is everywhere. So check the show out. We've talked about it before. The Blu-ray DVD has been out for a while.
Right.
It airs BBC America Saturday nights of season 2. You must catch up on season 1 first. This isn't a show you should pick up.
No, you cannot jump in the middle.
Seen the whole thing. No. Really well done, really well acted is incredible. And it's a lot of fun. So yeah, definitely check
absolutely.
It out.
Let's move on to some trailery type stuff.
Yeah.
We'll start with Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
There was a new clip from WonderCon this past week.
It was a quick clip.
It was a quick clip.
Honestly, it looks like part of an episode from Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think,
and I know a lot of the team is similar, so sure. It's supposed to be, you know, a little darker maybe because it's between 3 and 4, that kind of thing, but it just looks like, you know, that doesn't tell me much about the show at all.
The animation has a different feel to me.
Than Clone Wars?
It does. A little bit. It feels just a little bit cleaner. And I think intentionally so.
What do you mean by cleaner?
It feels less gritty. And I don't know if that's just an increase in the technology to produce that kind of show, or if it was an intentional thought that, look, this is Disney XD, this is a different kind of audience maybe than Clone Wars was.
I don't know.
It feels just a little smoother to me, a little cleaner.
It could be just the character design. It could be the character design too.
Yep.
Or it could be they didn't do the final lighting pass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
I'm sure if it's airing this fall, they probably have the first season and a half in the can already, actually.
Right.
Because that's how long it takes to produce these shows. Like, no one thinks, like, you know, they're probably writing season 3 right. before season 2. But I don't know. I guess it feels a little different. Yeah. But it's pretty. If they said this was season 7 or whatever, right. you could believe it.
And
you
know? That's not
a, which is fine. It's the same studio, I think.
My thought there isn't, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. Per se.
I get it. Yeah, you're saying.
But to me, something just feels a little bit different.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that little droid dude doesn't become too...
I was going to say that. It's like the monkey sidekick.
Yeah, like...
Where you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah,
speaking of fuck, does he say fuck it in the beginning of that trailer? Because it kind of sounds like it.
It does.
I know he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
But clearly it sounds like it.
A little nod to the adults.
Yeah.
It's a trailer that's just a tease. It just tickles you. It's you can't decide whether you like hate or anything from that trailer.
The only thing
I noticed was what you noticed is I really hope they don't overuse that goddamn robot.
Yeah. I like the idea of a new droid.
R2's endearing because he's not trying too hard. This guy was like, ooh, look at me. I'm funny.
And he seemed like, you know, R2 Jar Jar or R2 Binks or something.
R2 Binks.
Yeah, like.
Oh, God. If someone makes that, I'd be so... You've just started something terrible.
so that was my only concern. My only, like, legit concern.
Yeah. But it's hard to be concerned when you only saw 45 seconds.
Exactly.
Yep.
Let's go on to Crossbones. Did you watch this?
Yeah, I saw a little bit.
This is the NBC Blackbeard show coming out next year.
It's John called Malkovich. Black Sail. Oh, I'm sorry. Crossbones.
Yeah.
Crossbones.
Let's take a sidestep. Are you up? Did you keep up with Black Sails?
No, I'm a couple episodes behind.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm way behind. Yeah, and I found that I started to get a little bored.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like it was too much.
Yeah.
Like it was too much.
Trying too hard?
Yeah, it was trying too hard.
It was trying too hard to be other shows. That's how I felt about that show.
I really, like...
It's like it wants to be clever and intelligent and political, like Rome or Game of Thrones or something, but with pirates, and it's like it didn't find its own voice. I like it. I was still watching it. Yeah. I just wasn't like, I got to see the next episode.
Right.
I kind of intentionally stopped watching it and was like, when I have nothing else to watch, I'll go catch up on Black Sails.
That's kind of where I'm
and
at, too.
And that's what I'm going to... So the season ended. I'm going to check it out. Yeah. But I just feel like not enough happened and it just, you know, it just kind of started. It didn't grab me the way I'd like it.
Yeah. The first episode or two, first two episodes, like, really grabbed me. And there was some, like, really good stuff. And I don't know. I kind of was hoping for that kind of show on that channel for it to be, like, really... For it to show the visceral kind of dark side of piracy as opposed to the Johnny Depp side of piracy, which, by the way, I like the Johnny Depp side of piracy, too. I like that golden age, that romanticism of it. But I was kind of hoping for, you know, because like Johnny Depp is to pirates as like, you know, like Tom Cruise is to vampires. Like it was, you know what I mean? It was like that romantic.
Yeah, I feel like they wanted to go with treat them more like regular people.
Yeah, but.
Which is kind of what they did. Like they don't.
Except that I think in their attempt to treat them more like regular people, they lost a little bit. They lost a little bit of the.
This is a pirate show.
Pirate, yeah. You know, I mean, again, pirates are romanticized like other characters throughout history, right?
Right.
But really, I've read a lot about them because I actually happen to be. I like pirate. You know, I like the Golden Age of Pirates. They really were scumbag fuckheads. Like you want to hate them a lot, and I would rather hate them. And you hate some of the characters, clearly, but I don't know. To me, it just felt like it was trying to do too many other things.
It did feel like... I feel like the writer sat in a room and said, who are the characters that our audience are going to like and we'll keep around? Like, they were trying to plan for... Yeah, it felt that way, that they weren't really doing their own thing. But who knows? I got to finish the season before we make a judgment call on it. But Crossbones, which was announced way back. We talked about it a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now there's finally footage and stuff coming out. The first thing I'm going to say is, and I'm probably going to rewatch the trailer again.
Yeah.
I can't see John Malkovich as a pirate.
Well,
I like John Malkovich as an actor, but there's something about him that doesn't make me feel very threatened by John Malkovich.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's hard because Edward Teach, so Malkovich playing Blackbeard's real name, Edward Teach.
Yeah.
So Edward Teach is really kind of, he's supposed to be crazy and imposing, and he's almost supposed to be like the boogeyman of pirates. Like he did some really sick shit just to instill fear. And people.
Yep.
I didn't get that from that trailer.
Mm.
I didn't. And
maybe he's supposed to be likable first.
Call me crazy.
Yeah.
But Blackbeard also had a really dark black beard.
But is this
so I'm confused.
John Malkovich can't grow facial hair.
Well, no, but I'm confused at when it is this. From what I've read, so Edward Teach eventually kind of leaves piracy for a little bit and he settles down and tries to create a colony in the Bahamas. And that's where I think the show is. So
this is
actually after the golden age of, this is after the Queen Anne's Revenge has sunk and all of that stuff has taken place in his lifetime. Shaved? I guess he's.
Is the first scene going to be John Malkovich shaving his beard?
I don't know, but in all honesty, like the part about Blackbeard that is most interesting is not after he retires.
Really? Like, no, you don't want to watch a show about a guy retiring.
I'm just kind of throwing it out there. You know, post retirement pirate. I don't know how exciting that is.
They're just gonna do a bunch of flashbacks.
The whole time. I'll watch it. I do like John Malkovich. Again, I do like Blackbeard. I do like piracy. So I'll give it a shot.
I don't know, but I've seen a lot of trailers recently for shows coming, you know, just the regular, not anything related to piracy or geek stuff, I'll say affectionately, but like Black Box about a doctor who secretly, it just all seems really fucking boring. Like there's just a lot of shit that's like, kind of interesting, but mostly this is the same shit.
Well,
you know what I mean? I get that's what TV's about, right?
Understand. The problem is that we've fallen into that cycle. So everything is either procedural, Law and Order, Bones, Castle. And some of those are really good. I like Bones. Yeah. I like Castle, right? And then you know, you went through that period where everything was Lost. You know, there was Lost and there was like Flash Forward. And then there was like, they were all the like,
now
the
there's
Revolution, which are all sort of Lost-y in that kind of way.
Well, it's like something comes along that breaks the mold and everyone's like, holy shit, what's that? And then everyone does that show.
Right. So now we're in this weird political intrigue and everything feels like it's got that. So, you know, you need shows that stand out like Hannibal, even though I haven't watched it, I'm assuming it stands out for those reasons, but you need those kinds of shows. And it seems like we're waiting for the next big thing. And not that Hannibal isn't big, but Hannibal hasn't caught on like Lost has caught on, right? Would you say that is fair?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so so my point is, even though Hannibal is good, we're waiting for that next big thing, whatever that is, so that we can get the next three dozen mediocre shows that follow. Well, here,
but I
we're think in a cycle. We're in the middle of a cycle right now.
There's still really awesome TV happening on HBO and Showtime as well. Like,
absolutely.
We are in a golden age and all the film creators want to come here and Netflix has their own thing. So I still think all that's going on too. But network television in trying to catch up with cable is not doing it. It is still doing what network television does.
Correct.
Which is play it safe. So, you know, I watched like Crisis is trying really hard to be that intrigue.
Right.
It's political, whatever the fuck you're talking. It's just not good. Like, there's just, they're not good. Resurrection is a terrible show. Like, there's just not good stuff going on.
Just not well executed.
Yeah, just not great.
All right.
Not great. So don't watch, by the way, stay away from Resurrection. Don't fucking watch that.
I had no interest in that or Crisis.
Crisis, not that great. Believe, I wish were good. I don't. It's Which one was Believe? That great. It's the one by Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, yeah.
With the little
yeah.
girl who has powers.
Yeah.
So it's really not that great either.
No. They're all I'm more excited about Jack Bauer coming back at this point.
Yeah, that's in 2 weeks, right?
It is in 2 weeks.
Are you excited for 24?
I am. 24 is one of my favorite television shows.
Do you know what night it airs? Are we going to be able to like review it around the
time? You know what? I don't know if it's Monday.
Okay.
It does air after I come back from my vacation, though, so that's good.
So we can...
Or actually, I think it airs on the 9th, so that's a Friday. I want to say it's May 9th, so it's a Friday.
Gotcha.
But I'm excited for that. Again, I'll say the same thing I always say when this comes up. The one thing that 24 suffered from at the end was too many episodes.
Yep.
Too many filler episodes.
Well, that's what's great about this.
So cutting it down to 12 episodes.
Miniseries.
And distilling it to just the good stuff. Totally down.
Hope so.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
How to Train Your Dragon was awesome.
You know what? We have become like huge How to Train Your Dragon fans in this household.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. And like, I didn't see it when it first came out. And then I saw like the Christmas special because it was on Netflix. And it was.
Yeah, there's like an animated show. Now.
Yeah, it was tagged to like. Madagascar thing, my kid wanted to watch, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, How to Train Your Dragon has been on every single weekend for like the last month and a half, I'm sure, because they're ramping up for the sequel. So I've watched it now like 20 times. Yeah. My wife went out and bought it on Blu-ray the other day. She's like, we have to own this movie. I want to watch it. So it's like, I watched the first 5 minutes and it looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I like Jay Baruchel.
Yep.
I'm actually surprised that he doesn't work more than he does because I really like him overall. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
You know, maybe, even though he sounds like Christian Slater, maybe just waiting for Christian Slater to die. I'm not sure.
That's terrible.
But
maybe he's doing writing or something like that. Didn't he write?
He does, and he's one of those actors who's like, I don't really want to act, but I will. Like for example, he did This Is the End,
right?
Really because he had done the short film with Seth Rogen already, and Seth Rogen wanted for him to be in the main film. But he's kind of one of those like. You know, like he doesn't live in like L.A. or New York. He's kind of the character he plays in This Is the End. So
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, if you look at it, that's probably what it is. He's, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff even when he was younger.
In a bunch of stuff.
But I feel like he's a kind of behind the scenes dude doing his own thing.
Yeah, he kind of dropped off for a while. Is kind of how I feel. But
yep.
It's all good.
Indeed.
So yeah, so How to Train Your Dragon 2 is coming out. It looks really cool. The only other trailer I saw this week was I saw the 60-second, the new Sin City trailer. Yeah. It looks like Sin City.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing or a good thing. It looks cool.
No, it's just nothing made me want. Yeah. I saw a Giver trailer also. The Giver. Do you remember
What's that?
Book?
No, I don't know that one.
The dystopian, utopian novel with everyone is in a society where...
I have no
idea. No idea The Giver?
No.
Well, a lot of people hopefully know this book.
Okay.
It's one of those like they make people read it in school books.
Is this like okay? So they make people read it in school. So it's not like Hunger Games
it's
and
still,
Divergent.
Well, it's before all that. So okay. These came out before that. I believe it actually came out in 1993 or something like that. So
okay.
If you are in school after that date, I think it pretty quickly went in. It's a utopian society. There's an old guy with a beard on it, and it's they show you. Everyone is essentially the same and no one has emotional depth and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden you find out here the reality of the world, one of those kind of
movies.
If it's done well, it could be really deep and cool. If it's not, who knows? But it's got like Meryl Streep and Jeff Bridges and all kinds of big names in it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it'll be cool when it comes out.
I saw something else for The Equalizer earlier in the week. The Denzel Washington
movie. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. You know what other movie I'm really confused about? I went to see Transcendence, and I'll talk about that really quickly. But
did it stink?
So what really, there's this trailer and I've seen it before. Edge of Tomorrow, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
With Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Right. And the tagline, which fucking bothers me, is live, die, repeat. Or I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure what's going on, which I like about the trailer. But what I don't like is the movie already looks like a mess. So unless that trailer is really bad, like
it's a sci-fi.
It is a crazy sci-fi movie, and it's like him in futuristic battle suits that look like leftovers from Avatar slash.
But he didn't learn from Oblivion.
It looks like it could be the sequel to Oblivion.
Okay.
Like literally, he wakes up over and over again, and you don't know me. You should know me. Like it literally has some.
So it's Oblivion meets Vanilla Sky.
It's kind of
a little bit.
I don't know what it's about, and I don't want to look into it because the trailer has me intrigued, but it's. The way they're advertising it and the way that they're showing like this overt sci-fi thing,
right?
And then his relationship with Emily Blunt is like every other movie, that it makes me think it's either really interesting and edgy,
right?
And when you go see the movie, it's nothing like that, or there's no substance at all. I can't decide which one, so I'm torn because this kind of looks interesting, but I mean, he dies and then wakes up again in a world that looks like our own, but then he wakes up and he's in a battlefield that looks like he's in the 22nd century.
Right.
It just looks so cliched that there either has to be something there that they're advertising so people go see it, but there's really something going on in the movie,
right?
Or there's fucking nothing going on at all. It just looks like a video game script that someone's like, do you want to make a movie instead? Like, it's just, I'm not insulting video games. I'm just talking about, you know, the shooter that you don't remember the name to later on. Like Titanfall, a lot of fun, but it's like junk food. You play it, really exciting. There's no depth or story really going on. It looks like that. It looks like someone make a Titanfall video game.
Okay.
Kinda. And I'm just really confused because I saw it as a trailer in front of, and who I was with, we turned to each other, we're like, I kind of want to see that, but I don't know why.
But I don't know why. All right, I want to see enough.
That. So,
well, we know the marketing campaigns behind certain things stink sometimes, you know.
Or they're just not accurate. Like, they don't tell you anything about
like Arrow without a shirt on every week.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Exactly.
So, giving it the if it's the same ad agency, I'll see this immediately.
Right.
But I'm just not really, I also don't like, not a huge fan of Tom Cruise.
Okay.
He's
just,
you know, he's either like, sorry for saying this, he's just like white action star.
Yeah.
Like the same character over and over again.
Yeah.
Although he has some performances that I really liked. I liked him in Minority Report. I
thought Minority Report was a good movie.
Of course, you have the older stuff, you know, from the 4th of July and all that. I'm not discrediting any what he did. It's just, you know, he looks like he's playing the same guy from Oblivion, which is just a nameless action hero.
Yeah, he just kind of cashed in it at some point.
Yeah, that's kind of, it kind of looks like what he's doing. Yeah. Like Jack Reacher, the fuck is it? Transcendence, I really, really wanted to like more than I liked.
Okay.
And I feel like, and I don't know this for certain, they had to rewrite the ending. Because they try to tackle all these themes, which is what a Nolan movie would do, is it's this crazy action, but it all relates and it ties together with his emotional characters. And honestly, I had no idea what the message was in that movie.
So
I cannot tell you for a fact, it needed another rewrite is what I said.
Right.
Like I watched the movie, there were some good moments. There's some interesting stuff. There's some cool ideas, but everything about the movie was like, it needed another couple months.
So all the people who are blaming Johnny Depp for it,
I disagree.
It's not really his fault.
It sounds like
it was he was handed a hot mess.
I feel like he did as best as he could with the material. Not so great writing.
Okay,
it's the same thing. It feels like a really cool idea that someone came up with,
right?
And then was like, well, how the fuck are we going to end this? And they said, I don't know. And they wrote the ending, and the studio was like, people are not going to like this ending. Do it again. And they did. And they tried to make the entire thing end up being a love story, but it makes no fucking sense in the context of the rest of the movie.
All right.
So I really want to like it more than I can possibly like it.
Maybe a second viewing at some point.
It just needs a rewrite. It's not like, oh, I missed that. That's possible. But it's literally like the whole thing ends and it's like the whole reason he did this is because he loved her.
Right.
No, the whole point was we were struggling with it undoes its own shit. It's fucking annoying.
All right.
I'll do a more in-depth review, but I know we're talking a lot about
stuff.
So I was really, really hoping to like it. It's shot well. It's Wally Pfister. He does amazing cinematography for Nolan, for every Nolan film.
Right.
But I'll wait to see Interstellar.
I was going
to
say, I'll wait for Interstellar.
Yeah, this is a movie you don't, don't go spend the money on this. That's all I'm saying.
Let's quickly talk about movies that don't need to be made, but are.
Oh, God. So Sinister Six. No, I'm just
joking. No, well, maybe. A sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire.
Why?
With Robin Williams. I don't even want to say anything else. I don't know anything else. I didn't bother to read it other than...
Is this real?
Yeah. Yeah, they're actually doing a sequel. It's Chris Columbus is coming back, which is hard because... All right, so here's a couple of things.
What the...
And I might get shot for this. But as like a funny Robin Williams family-friendly movie...
Uh-oh.
I didn't hate Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Right? Like it kind of was taking it for what it was.
Do you want to close the window? There's some pitchforks outside. Yeah,
I didn't. Well, because some people would be like, you know, jerk off. Hey, you, of course you like that movie. It wasn't bad for what it was. No, it was silly and it was right. It was family friendly and it was feel good and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And I like Christopher Columbus as a director.
Yep.
Generally speaking, he puts out films that I want to see.
Yep.
I don't get this movie.
I don't get it either.
I don't get this movie. So that's all I want to say. Money. Moving past that.
I feel like anytime I see a movie like that, I feel like there's a deal where the director's like, I want to do my dream project. And they go, yeah, so first you're going to do this. And they go, I really don't want to do that though. And they're like, well, too bad.
Too bad.
Like there's some backdoor, like the Spike Lee thing with Old Boy.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
feel like that was a,
yeah, like,
you know,
what do you want to direct
next? We will put some funding in your Kickstarter campaign
right.
if you fucking direct this for us because we need your name. Like, I feel like that's happening. I don't know.
Right. His next film, Kill Whitey, couldn't be funded unless Old Boy was successful.
That's true. Yeah.
Also announced today, and I didn't print out the story, but I'm just going to throw this out there.
Sure.
Let it marinate.
Yeah.
And then you can vomit. Somebody is developing a Peeps movie.
Yes, yeah, I saw that.
Just gonna let that sit out
yeah,
there.
Let
that sit out there. All right, moving past that.
But why?
Okay. No, I don't know. I don't know why. You know who's gonna be really upset by that? Big Kev.
A Peeps movie?
Yeah, and I'll tell you
yes.
what. When he is here next week, if you're listening, Big Kev, remember, I don't remember the exact name of the, was it Killer Peeps? Was that the name of the project? You'll know what I'm talking about. Longtime listeners of this show might know what I'm talking about too, but Big Kev, I'm sure next week we'll talk about Killer Peeps.
You know what movie is being made?
What?
And then I'm happy they're making it again.
What?
Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
The Hateful Eight. They just did a table reading.
They did a table reading with the original ending. The only time he says you'll see the original ending in which everybody dies.
Yep. Surprise! It's a.
But he's rewriting that final chapter. I'm kind of pissed.
What?
I'm not pissed at him. I understand why he's doing it. I just think that when I watch the movie,
you're gonna think
in the back of my mind, I'm gonna think this is what it should have been or could have been.
We'll see.
And some fuckhead was it Gawker?
No, I thought it was an agent that leaked it.
Yeah, but I think Gawker was the one that published it.
Oh. Yeah. We'll see.
That somebody ruined it for the rest of us. But yeah, I mean, what's the name of the film?
The Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Speaking of Tarantino, has Dusk Till Dawn started on Netflix or Amazon?
The
Where is
Rodriguez
that?
Rodriguez thing?
The television show.
Yeah. It's been out. It's gotten terrible reviews.
Oh, has it been panned?
I've heard it's pretty bad.
That's terrible. Makes me sad.
It's on some exclusive network or something.
It's Amazon or Netflix.
No, I thought it was something else.
Oh no, you're right. It's, the Del Rey.
Yes.
Del Rey Network or something like that?
Yep. El Rey. It is.
And which is Robert Rodriguez's network.
Outside of the U.S., it's on Netflix.
Okay.
But apparently it is not so great.
Slightly off topic.
But it got renewed, so you can watch two of them.
But it's fairly significant, I think, overall. Amazon today, or yesterday, struck a deal with HBO. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that they're going to put all the stuff on Amazon Prime.
They're going to get rights to all of the older stuff. And they haven't talked about how the new stuff is going to work and what the release schedule is going to be. But that's pretty significant if you want to catch up on stuff that's... A lot of that stuff isn't on Netflix, so...
Yeah, I don't know why they're going to do that. Why wouldn't they just sell tickets to HBO... Not tickets. Sell membership to HBO Go.
Because...
They can't get out of the deals with the networks?
No, honestly, I think that not enough people are buying HBO Go. And HBO is currently relying on too many third-party devices to have it. So for example, like Apple TV works with HBO Go, Chromecast works with HBO Go, the Amazon whatever it's called
Fire
is going to work with HBO Go. So I think they think that they're going to hit a bigger audience with Amazon.
How?
With Amazon proper. How?
That doesn't make sense. No, and you can get HBO
cuz you're still going to be able to get HBO Go with all those other devices. They're just giving it to a network now.
No,
as
but
well.
But if you buy it on Amazon, you can't log in to HBO Go.
No, right. But what I'm saying is right now, if you want to watch HBO Go,
correct,
it's either online or through one of those third-party devices.
Like everything with Amazon. What's the difference? If you want to watch Amazon Instant Video,
right,
you have to sign in on any of those devices you just mentioned.
I think they think that Amazon has a larger already built-in audience using Prime.
So you're saying if you add up all the Prime subscribers, they'll watch HBO. And then
they'll watch
what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Like, what? How does that increase anything? Like, how does that increase
DVD sales?
But no. Let's see. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Amazon paid him a boatload of money in order to increase their content.
Do you think there's something we're not hearing? Like, they're going to get back catalog, but not new material.
It could be.
You know what I mean?
Like, it could be, or there'll be a significant delay on the new material.
Yeah, there'll be a season behind or some shit like that. I feel like something like that may happen. I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because the biggest problem with, you know, the premium networks is they have to stay bundled for a lot of the cases with, you know, you have to have a cable package to watch them the way you want to watch them. Most people I know watch everything on HBO Go way after, you know, because it airs 5 minutes after it starts airing live. It shows up on HBO Go, which is awesome.
Right.
So the fact that, you know, people who don't pay for cable are going to be able to have access to stuff.
For the cord cutters.
Even like The Wire and Oz and all that stuff. That's awesome. I'm totally on board with that. Yeah. I don't want to say anything. I'm just trying to
figure
out.
Confused. I don't know what because
they were talking about selling just access to HBO Go for something a month, I think.
Right.
Maybe Amazon just came to them and were like, hey, we want you exclusively.
I think Amazon wanted the content.
They probably wanted to nip it in the bud from Netflix.
Yeah. Well, and HBO must be getting some benefit from it. You know, maybe they figure that interest in their old shows will garner interest in their new shows, or there's got to be something that HBO gets out of it.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but
it could be fighting Netflix. You know, Netflix is making deals with ISPs, which is a really big concern. Maybe if HBO has Amazon, and I don't know what they're thinking. But if you have Amazon, please enjoy some great HBO stuff that you may not have seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with that, unless you have anything else you want to throw in there, I think we could probably take our first break.
Yeah.
So if you remember, before I outro the first break, if you remember many moons ago, we had a fan of the show. I know I'm going to butcher his Twitter name, but I think it's YMINCA at YMINCA. I'll post his Twitter link online, but we call him our unofficial West Coast correspondent. And he sent us a review of, I don't remember what con it was last year. Do you remember which convention it was? He did this for us once before.
Yes. Shit.
I don't think it was WonderCon last year. I think it was maybe it was C2E2.
Maybe. I don't remember.
But anyway, he sent in actually two voicemails to cover WonderCon for us, because unfortunately the capacity in the voicemails is cut off at some point. So we're going to play those voicemails back to back. Thank you to Scott E. And I'm sorry if I butchered your Twitter handle, but I will post the link to it on the Twitter page. But thank you for your review of WonderCon. It sounded like a great event. I wish I could have gone.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Check out his review.
Call us up, and if you have something else you want to review or talk about, 425-920-6050, the GVM line. Take a listen.
Yep. And with that, we will take our first break with this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 327, Clone Club.
Hey, Big Kev, OG and Scapegoat. It's Scott, your unofficial West Coast correspondent, or at YMINCA on Twitter. I wanted to give you my review of this year's WonderCon. I've been fortunate enough to go to WonderCon every year since it's been in Anaheim, which is since 2012. It sold out all 3 days this year. I don't know if it sold out last year or not, but even with the sellout crowd, I felt like I could move around the floor. It was not too jam-packed. There were lots of people there. It was a really great event. In fact, when I was eyeing the gaming area where people were playing Magic the Gathering and other card-based games, I was looking at that real estate wondering if maybe they could get more people on the floor as this convention continues to grow. You can't help but compare WonderCon to San Diego. It doesn't have the major panels or those ultra-rare exclusives, but it also doesn't have the intensity caused by the overcrowding and long lines waiting for those things. It's a much more laid-back feeling. It does not feel just like people are waiting forever and missing out on the convention. I was also lucky enough to go all 3 days because it's close enough. It's nearby, so that's not something everyone can do. Every convention is a lot to try to get into a single day. And then not to say that this convention doesn't have some of the big panels or lines. The premiere of Son of Batman was a big deal, as was the Batman 75 panel. That had Jim Lee, Bruce Timm, Kevin Conroy, Kevin Smith. I really blew it by not lining up in time for that one. I didn't get in. The Fox and WAB panels were also well attended. The stars from their upcoming releases did panels, very notably Gary Oldman for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Out on the floor, I felt like the artists area, they were integrated more into the layout than at San Diego. It didn't feel like they were relegated to Artist Alley and separated from all the excitement. There are just so many talented people at these kinds of events. There's really something for everyone, you know, from the purists who want to see things exactly like they appeared in the comic books or on the screen, to someone who likes the more irreverent, nostalgic mashups. There were some really great things there. Personally, I picked up a print of Emo Batman. The caption is, "My parents are dead," as he looks down rather sadly. My girlfriend actually almost got the Emo Link, who was also looking down sadly. His caption was, "I'm not Zelda." And there's one of those for pretty much everybody. So those were pretty fun. But again, so much good stuff over at the artists area. And I'm really making a point as I attend these to try to support the artists and not just to look at and admire their work, but to purchase some for myself as well. The rest of the floor is pretty much what you would expect. T-shirts and toys, comics and graphic novels. Okay, I got a little cut off there, so maybe I'm talking too slow or the review is too long. So I'm going to pick up where I left off, and there maybe is some wonderful editing that can be done. But the rest of the floor is as you would expect. T-shirts and toys, comics and graphic novels. Over on Autograph Alley, I was tempted to purchase the autograph of the Gorn from Star Trek. He's still around and kicking, but I didn't do that. And this is actually the first con I've attended where I didn't see Lou Ferrigno. And I'm not saying it wasn't there, because he was. I just didn't see him this time. I've really been enjoying going to these events. I just want to strongly urge your listeners to get out to one if they can. Even if it's just for one day, even if you can't get a ticket, but to hang out around the outside. The atmosphere is so much fun. There's so many people just dressed up, just sharing that common love of comics, sci-fi, fandoms in general. And I even recommend, as you get a little more involved, moving on to dressing up. I actually did that. This is the second con I've attended in cosplay, and that's another level of fun and enjoyment. You really feel like you're on the inside once you start dressing up, and you just have this camaraderie with everyone that's there. On a personal note, what really made it an incredible experience for me, my girlfriend and I were dressed as Fox and Codex from the Guild, and on our way in, Will Wheaton said, "Hey, can I take your picture?" So that was pretty incredible. He actually tweeted it, the picture of us dressed as him and Codex. And then when we got inside, we bumped into Felicia Day and were lucky enough to take a photo with her as well. So I'm just so excited about both WonderCon and conventions in general. I'm looking forward to San Diego in July. And so it was really wonderful. Anyway, that's my review of WonderCon. It was a great experience, a lot of fun to go to, not too intense, not major panels, but still well worth going to and a lot of fun. I want to thank you guys for a great podcast, and thank you for letting me be the unofficial West Coast correspondent. I'm happy to do that anytime I can. So this is Scott out in California, signing off.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 327, Clone Club.
Clone Club.
Suburban Vinyl.
Suburban Vinyl.
In lovely Waldwick, New Jersey.
Waldwick, New Jersey. Spring came back.
Spring did come back.
Which is exciting.
Which means Waldwick is probably even more lovely than it was prior.
You can get all the lollipops.
That's right.
That you could possibly want at Costco, and then visit Suburban Vinyl.
That's right. I owe Suburban Vinyl an apology, because apparently I completely butchered a bunch of the information on their Street Spirits release last week.
Oh, wow.
I said it was Friday, but it was actually 420 at 420. I just butchered it.
I see what they did.
But anyway, those Street Spirit pieces, there are still some available. Of course, the first artist in that series is the Sucklord. So if you are a Sucklord collector, a collector of the Gay Empire pieces, you're going to want this piece. So go over to suburbanvinyl.com and check it out. Also, I know they just got in stock this week, and this is pretty exciting for me. They got in the new Joe Ledbetter Chaos Bunnies Blind Box series. If you're a fan of Joe Ledbetter's work, if you're a fan of the Chaos Bunnies, I have the giant pirate bunny.
Oh, I actually like that. Yeah, that's really cool.
These are a smaller scale, but it's a bunch of the different bunnies that he's done in that blind box series. So they've got cases of those in the store. You can buy them by case, buy them by the individual blind box. Of course, you can buy them online as well.
Yeah.
Over at suburbanvinyl.com.
You know what happens if you buy online, though?
There is a coupon code.
You should use it.
You should use it, and it is.
Big Kev.
And that will get you.
10% off the entire order.
That's right.
All of the things on the order.
That's right.
Pretty awesome.
So, So go over to suburbanvinyl.com, pick up some Chaos Bunnies, pick up Pick up that Suck Lord piece. It is a really cool piece. And, you know, support them. Sponsors of the show. They're good people.
Yep.
I think, and I don't know if I'm unofficially announcing something on their behalf, but SketchCon is coming up on June 8th. SketchCon is it's an all artist convention. The guy who runs it, his name is Christian, and I forget his last name, but he I actually own a couple prints of his. The Steampunk Girl print that I have over here is his, and he has a Day of the Dead Girl print that I have that's just not hanging in the room. But he put together this convention for artists. Suburban Vinyl, I believe, is going to be there at the event with some stuff. So
that's cool.
You're going to want to check out SketchCon, and of course check out Suburban Vinyl if you go to that event. Hopefully I'll get to go this time. I keep on missing it. But go to cons. I think we could. Well, the first SketchCon took place during Toy Fair when we were still allowed at Toy Fair. And then the second SketchCon took place, well, I think I was away.
You know what's weird? So New York Comic Con was probably my first time at a con the way that I was at this con, right?
Okay.
At a con like that. Like, I've been to them before, but never, you know, in that capacity. And I was at the auto show the other day. And right. All I can think of is, why the fuck are they in Artist Alley right now?
Right.
Why is this Dodge
right
in Artist Alley?
What is this doing here?
There's carpet? That's amazing. That's
pretty... How come this Dodge isn't painted?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Or drawn upon.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I've been to some really weird things at the Javits Center. I mean, yeah. New York Comic Con, obviously, and I've been to the car show once before. I've been to Toy Fair there, but yeah. I've been to some other like professional weird trade shows there, yeah. And I always walk through, and it never quite feels right. Like I'm walking through in a shirt and tie, and I'm like, this is just not right. And I have my Geek Stuff business cards in my pocket because I carry them around with me, and I'm like, I'm not going to use these today. Don't accidentally hand out those ones instead of your real ones,
because really
you're going to get a really awkward look from somebody.
Yep. Or,
but like, yes, I am interested in your insurance module. Yeah. How can that help my risk management program?
Oh, God.
Here's my pot. Wait, what?
Yeah, send a copy. Send a copy over. We'll take a look. We'll talk about it on the show.
So yeah, you get that frame of reference, and it does definitely kind of screw you up.
Yep. In the best way possible.
In the best way possible.
Thank you, New York Comic Con.
Comic books this week. I'm way behind again. I haven't had a chance to read anything that came out this week. I thought Amazing Spider-Man 1 came out this week.
It is
apparently
next week.
It is next week, which means I get to read it while I'm on vacation, which I'm pretty excited about.
That's pretty cool.
I'm trying to think if there's anything really exciting. Batman Eternal came out this week, which I have been reading and I'm really digging on.
New Eternal, you mean?
Issue 3.
It's weekly, right?
It is weekly. Yeah, issue 3 is out this week.
Yep.
Have you caught up? We didn't talk about Saga last week.
We were going to talk about it this week,
right?
Because we wanted Kev,
right,
to come on, and we were going to see whether he is caught up,
okay,
or whether he hasn't read it.
So
at
we'll
all.
Table it again.
We'll table it again.
It'll
I did warn him that this would happen, so he may actually have read it by the time we start talking about it. But I'm excited to talk about it. It's really exciting. I think I said this already. I'm really annoyed that there's a break, but May there's a new issue coming out.
Yes.
So apparently they do this all the time. They do a six issues, and then
he needs a little downtime.
Yeah, fair enough.
I do want to apologize. The email that we were going to get to this week from last week, we're going to hold off to again, because I still think that Kev's input on that email is important. And I know that you were eager. I know you got me on Twitter and you were like, I can't wait till you guys address it. But I really think it would be better if all three of us could chime in on that conversation.
Yeah.
That being said, we do have another email.
But I think this is the same thing, honestly. I'll read it anyway, but I'm gonna ask next week.
Well, I want Kevin's input on this next week, but I think you should address it this week, and I want to ask for a little bit of clarification on it.
So we can get a response.
So we can get a response from this person and maybe address it better.
So
next
this
week.
Is from how do you want to pronounce this?
This is Agent Smith. Agent Smith is a longtime listener to the show.
Yep.
He frequently emails in or hits me up on Twitter with thoughts, ideas, complaints, questions, etc.
It's good to be active.
Absolutely.
Right?
He's been listening forever, and I appreciate every single time he reaches out.
Yep. I feel like you just buried yourself a little bit there.
No, it's fine.
All right. The subject is Salutation Scapegoat, which to me, after reading the next part, feels like a passive-aggressive attempt to insult me.
I'm not sure.
Which is fine. If you want to do that, come out. Let's talk. No problem. Yeah. It says, for a while now, Superior Spider-Man Daredevil, change has proven to be bad for Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So can we get a list of changes in comics that were actually good to you?
Well, you address it first. Do you need to address that?
I don't think so. I've never talked about a change necessarily being good or bad.
I have to argue with him a little bit. And maybe I don't think that all change is bad. I think just that shitty change is bad.
Change is bad.
So his two examples. Let's address his two examples. the change for Daredevil from New York to San Francisco,
yep,
I don't think it was bad. Kevin thought it was bad. I didn't think it was bad. I'm okay with it. I understand that it's a huge plot point for the character.
And we talked about if it's based on that, I just forgot the fucking character's name. Then it makes sense.
Right.
So I'm with that too. To me, it's all, if you build a universe and you follow your own rules, it works for the character awesome.
Right.
If it's the, hey, we're going to put someone in someone's body for an indefinite amount of time so that we can inevitably bring them back and release another issue number one as seen for next week, that's a different fucking story. Also, both of the things you mentioned are Marvel, which are we already have the person on the show not here.
Right.
Not a big fan of their work. But, so you're talking about changes that...
But Superior Spider-Man, for me, was really just kind of meh at the end of the day. Like, I read it, right?
Yeah.
But every time I read it, I was like, I'm reading this for the eventual return of Peter Parker. Like, to me, it was a year of me just hoping that what I wanted to happen would happen, and now it's happening.
It's a miniseries.
Right, exactly. Like, to me, the idea was, I guess, okay, but did it have to take place for a year? Not enough happened during the course of the year for me to care about it that much. And is that really change or just a bad storyline? Like, I don't know that that's change. Is it, change because it's a different character playing the character? Like for example, Bucky Barnes stepping in as Captain America for a year while Captain America was dead. Was that good change or bad change? I actually thought that was the Winter Soldier I thought that was an okay storyline. That was some okay change. I was down with that.
Yep.
The new 52 universe. I'm actually really down with that. And that was a huge change for DC.
But see, that's a change.
But
the other stuff you're talking about are arcs. Really they're long storylines. Because you know, and we are, I'm not going to say it's exclusive to Marvel or DC, but all the ones you mentioned are Marvel. We know that those are all eventually going to go back to the way that it is.
Right.
It's a change for a little while.
Right.
Like the status quo will eventually happen again, which is what happens.
It's a plot point. Look, Daredevil may never go back to New York. And so then it'll become a change. But for now, it's a plot point.
Right.
But again, I don't know. Like, I guess maybe I don't fully understand your question, or maybe you didn't fully understand your own question in an attempt to be snarky. I'm not quite sure. But I don't think all change is bad. I think some change is good. I just happen to think that Superior Spider-Man was a bad story.
I think there's a change for change just to sell shit.
Right.
If we can see through it and you're openly admitting that, because they have in multiple interviews admitted, we're just doing it because then it's dumb.
Right.
If it's for the sake of the story or for the sake of something else and benefits everything else, I don't think we have a problem with that.
No.
We're not like, don't you change the shit that... No, we want to see new, exciting stories.
Of course.
I'll speak for myself. I would like to see new, exciting risks and stories and stuff like that and New 52 and all those things that you're talking about. Doing something because it's going to make a headline outside of the small, comic book, the dedicated readers every week, just so people will buy an issue, or just do something completely out there just for fuck's sake. Not a good change.
Like Marvel Now should have been a change and it wasn't. Marvel Now really became its own mega series. Like that's kind of how Marvel Now is. It's just a mega series. It's just an all-encompassing story arc, really, kind of in its own weird way. But anyway, so if you want to clarify that question a little bit better, we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. We'll get Kev's input on it.
Yeah, definitely.
But thank you for writing in. We take all emails, voicemails, good, bad, whatever. It's all good. We'll address them on the show. We're not afraid to address them. If you say we're assholes, that's fine too.
Sure.
We're down with it.
You can call in the 425-920-6050. You can email in. Is this the email address we want to send it to? Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Yep.
And of course, the tweet, I would be scapegoatgs.
GeekStuffOG.
And there is a BK Geek Stuff.
There is, in fact, a BK Geek Stuff.
Which is that someone is there now.
yes, that's what I've heard.
Yep.
Let's move on to some products.
Let's do it.
Last week, I mentioned that October Toys had their new minifigure release, and the glow-in-the-dark Baby Deadbeats are still available. They did not sell out, but the other piece, which is the 3D Retro logo robot, he did sell out, and it's a really cool little minifigure. I mean, if you're not a minifigure collector, then these don't have appeal to you, and that's fine.
It's kind of cool.
But it's a great design. It's got a little bit of weight to it.
And it does.
And look at the detail in that face. That head is teeny tiny. And yet there is detail there.
You know, honestly, it reminds me a little bit, just a little bit, of Earthworm Jim. I know that sounds weird.
Yes.
And just a tiny, tiny bit amount of Invader Zim. I don't know what about it. It's got some kind of...
You know what it is? To me, it's kind of like Earthworm Jim meets a Mega Man villain.
That's way better description. But, absolutely, I will allow that.
But I don't want to knock the 3D Retro logo.
No, it's
I love
great.
3D
it's
Retro.
Great, yeah.
They're really cool. I love their shop, and I happen to like the logo. But if you're trying to describe the how the figure or character looks to someone who doesn't know.
Yes, yeah. Fair enough. Well, hopefully you're seeing pictures on your iPod yes. color.
But it is a great little minifigure. I actually do want to see more colors of this. I'd love to see a translucent, and I'd love to see a glow in the dark. Just saying, George.
Yeah.
Aileen, if you're listening. Just tossing it out there.
Yep.
Red. Translucent red and glow in the dark. That's my two cents.
Can't translucent red get very pink very quickly?
No. No. If you ever saw the... I have them somewhere, maybe in the studio, and I'll try to show them to you after the show. But the blood red OMFG colorway, which was like a translucent red, was not pink, was translucent red, and looks good. So if they stick with that, I'm down.
Fair enough.
All right. This is not yet seen in the wild, as far as I'm concerned, over here. I know other people have... This came from the wild. This came from a fan who knew that I needed one, bought it for me, and sent it to me, and charged me cost plus shipping,
which is
anything I would have paid online anyway, so I don't feel as though I've lost out. This is Star Wars The Black Series. This is a series...
Oh, is this the one they accidentally put out on display or whatever?
No, they put out the Anakin figure, but then they pulled it. The series comprises of young Obi-Wan... a stormtrooper, a repackaged Han Solo, and I'm missing something. I think there's another figure, but I have no interest in a repackaged Han Solo because I already have Han Solo.
Yep.
And I have no interest in young Obi-Wan. No offense, Ewan McGregor. I actually liked your performance, but for my own personal taste, I don't care.
Gotcha.
I'll get classic Obi-Wan, but I don't need. Right. But this is the stormtrooper from the line, which for me is the must have in the line. Great figure, continues to have great articulation. The only thing for me, and this is going to be a little bit nitpicky, I guess. I haven't actually read anybody else's reviews, so I don't know if anybody else has pointed this out. And I don't know if this is just me being nitpicky or other people agree, but his head.
Yeah. Why is it bending back?
Well, I don't mind that it's articulated and that it can bend back, and I don't mind that it can bend forward and look all around. That's great for articulation. Yeah. My problem is that I think in order for it to work or look better, the helmet needs to be down lower or the peg
needs
to be smaller.
Or there needs to be a head underneath.
Right. So I understand they're not going to put a head because they don't want to have a helmet, which I get, right? Because a stormtrooper could be anybody, right? Stormtroopers weren't clones. They don't have to be Temuera Morrison. Do you know what I mean?
You
can have other stormtroopers. So I get that, and I'm okay with that. But if you do kind of poke the head forward or back, like if you want them looking down or you want them looking back, it kind of doesn't work.
That's true.
Because the gap is so big,
you
see the peg.
Yeah,
and
it's
a bit distracting. Now, of course, if you just pose him statically, you know, facing forward, gun pointing, then it's fine, and no one's ever going to notice. And that's why I say maybe it's just me being a bit nitpicky. The other problem I have with this figure is I don't think he holds the second gun quite as well as he holds the blaster. So to me, it's kind of a useless accessory.
Does his chest look a little off to you?
It looks like it might be
like bent to a weird angle.
Well, you know that the armor has that, but I feel as though the peak might be a little too defined.
It could be that.
Like, it kind of looks like Aeon Flux's tits instead of a breastplate on a stormtrooper.
Wow. I understand what you're saying, though.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
Like,
interesting.
So, but it's a great figure. I really do like it. I'm being a bit nitpicky because I can be.
Right.
I have the liberty to be nitpicky.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I love it. I do wish that I could find one in the wild. I think that if I find one, I'll probably buy another one. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel as though I could have two stormtroopers and be really happy and comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's a peg hole in the back. I'm guessing it's just a carryover from the sand trooper because they use the same body.
That's a good point.
And the sand trooper has that backpack. But it's a great figure. If you're lucky enough to find one, grab one. This is the hardest one to find, though. For those of you who have found it in the wild, this is the hardest one to find. I check Kmart at least once or twice a week. I don't bother with Toys R Us or Target because I know they get sniped by all the headhunters in this area. The East Coast, our area.
Are there really such a thing?
Yes, absolutely. So
I didn't know that.
So if you go to Toys R Us on like their known delivery days, let's say for the sake of our conversation, Thursday, Thursday morning.
You don't want to give the real delivery date out there.
I don't know what it is anymore. I used to know it was like Mondays.
Yeah.
Mondays and like, I think it actually might have been Mondays and Thursdays for a while. But so if you would go like a Monday morning, for example, the same three or four guys are there waiting for the doors to open. And they go right to the section and they clear the pegs. Or they wait for the dude to bring the pallet out from the back who's getting ready to restock the news and they clear the cases. And then they take it to their, to the flea market and they take it to their cons and they, or they sell them online. They're headhunters.
Yeah.
And those guys bother me.
Yeah, it's
to
annoying.
No end.
Well, there's always that in every industry for everything.
You know, I'll tell you, and this is funny. I've had this conversation before with somebody, but it bothers me not so much because I can't get it, because I know I'll eventually get it through either a friend, you know, online or through eBay or whatever. It bothers me for like little kids who want to like be excited and collect toys, but can't actually find the toys they want because some 40-year-old prick bought four cases of it to sell at double the price.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's stupid. Maybe it's I feel bad for those people, less than me, because I feel bad for mom who, like, wants to get her son something really cool but can't find it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, old man Mike. That's right. I'm calling you out. Old man Mike went and scooped him at fucking Toys R Us before
fucking
anybody
called. Word. Okay. Is this a real person that we're insulting?
Old man Mike is a real dealer, and I don't like him.
I so can take that back. I have no opinion on you at all. I apologize.
But anyway, so yeah. So that's it.
That I don't
have
sucks.
Anything else. Do you have anything else we need
not
to
really.
Address?
I saw Son of Batman.
I heard it's not that good.
That's how I feel about it.
I hear it is lacking where the others have succeeded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. What's the next one? Have they announced the next one yet?
Yes. Yes, they have.
What is it?
It's a great question because I literally just
it's not Justice League War, right? That happened already.
Justice League War happened. It was really good, actually.
It's another 52, isn't it?
They're all in 52.
But
is
it another Batman?
Fuck.
Oh, God. You know what we didn't talk about? We have to talk about this.
Okay, we will. It is Assault on Arkham. It's going to be an animated set in the Arkham video game universe.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be called Assault on Arkham. It's going to take place in the same universe as the Batman Arkham video games.
I'm very okay with that.
And the guy who wrote Justice League War is going to do it.
Okay.
And it's coming out later this year. I actually really liked Justice League War and the Arkham game. It's cool. It's a little departure.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. And there's a bunch of, you know, ones that are sort of announced that they said, oh, we'd like to do this and we're already working on this.
Right, right.
And they want to do, what's the Killing Joke? Is that what it is? They want to do a Killing Joke and Mark Hamill said he'd come back to play the Joker.
Yes.
If they do that.
So that would be amazing.
There's stuff like that. And I would totally want to see that. There's a lot of cool
stuff. Of course.
But yeah, Son of Batman just is not great. It's just like every... You know, it's better. It's animated pretty well. It's very anime style. It feels like it was done by a Japanese studio. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a lot of them are mixed styles. And this one feels like just a straight anime of a script.
Like that Matrix-y one they did years ago.
The Gotham Knight thing?
Yeah.
Whatever. That's not what it's called. I don't remember what it's
called.
But
you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I do. Yeah. They did like seven different kinds.
Yeah.
My real problem is one of the strongest things about most of these movies is the voice acting, and it just wasn't solid.
It wasn't Kevin
not Conroy, who I really like.
Yeah.
You know what we didn't talk about? Now that I don't know if this is going to be the same thing. The Batman Beyond short.
Yeah, that's what I said. Because you said Kevin Conroy. Yeah.
So speaking of Kevin Conroy, he is in.
He is in.
Along with whatever the hell the name of the guy who plays Terry McGinnis is.
Right.
In that really short.
The Darwin Cook one.
Yeah, such a tease because I really want more Batman Beyond now.
I'd actually love to see a continuation of that story.
Right? Well, it was cool because it was 75th anniversary, so they actually paid... homage, whatever, to all of the different
The Adam West one in there?
Yep, and, it was really cool.
Yeah, and this, they're actually airing these on something.
Are they?
Yeah,
is
it's...
Is it like on Cartoon Network or something?
It is. It's somewhere. I forget where it is, but who watches it on TV?
I feel like they should show it before Arrow. Like, why would they not do it in the middle of Arrow, a special? It's only a minute long. Like
during a commercial break or something. Yeah. I don't know why not either. The only thing I could think is that anything Batman related right now, Fox might be holding on to. Even though this is being put out by Warner Brothers and DC, Fox might be like, anything Batman on TV is mine.
Fair enough.
I don't know if that's it.
But I'm telling, like, I really liked Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
And this is like, it is Batman Beyond. It looks the same. You know, it looks a tiny bit more polished because they had a little more time and it was a short.
Sure.
And it just makes me want to see an even darker Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Because, like, the book right now, and I've read a little bit, I have not caught up even remotely, is Batman Beyond, like, the TV show. Like, it's still light and there's some dark moments. I want to see, like, a truly dark
Batman Beyond.
Like, a Batman Beyond Terry McGinnis story. And this was really cool. And it's just, it's kind of badass. And, you know, it's exactly what it's supposed to be. A little wink at the fans kind of story.
So check it out.
Yep.
Check it out. There's definitely some cool stuff in there.
Indeed.
And I think with that, since the wrap-up music is playing in the background already,
we like it.
We probably should wrap up this episode.
Let's do it.
So, of course, don't forget you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Check it out.
You can find us over at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, on the Twitters.
Yep.
You are.
BKGeekStuff.
That's right.
Check that out. I am ScapegoatGS.
That's right. And I am GeekStuffOG over there on Twitter. And, of course, you could leave us a call over at the GVM line. We'll plug that again.
425-920-6050. Remember that. It's probably already in your brains, if not in your contact list. If you do get arrested, though, don't call. No one will pick up.
That's right. No one will pick up. Yeah, that's right. It actually is voicemail.
Yeah.
Some people don't get that. It is voicemail.
It literally is. We cannot pick up that phone number if we wanted to.
No, it does not ring anywhere.
Much as we'd like to talk to you.
That's right.
Can't do it.
I think, all right, for clarification purposes, next week we should have a show.
Yes.
The week after is currently in limbo.
Gotcha.
And then after that, we should be back to normal.
Cool.
So.
It's almost like your favorite TV show where, it's going to be on this week. What the fuck?
Right, exactly.
Like that.
We're taking an April sweep.
There you go.
Or actually, it'll be May. So it'll be May sweep. Yep. Right. And that's it. So I will end this week's episode by saying... good night, Otto Peterson, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar.